Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Our Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, Josh. I was going to go with Josh, my friend, but I will do. And throw it in. Resident Evil 8 got a whole bunch of stuff shown last night, including, as part of the Resident Evil showcase, Capcom showed off a horrific-looking multiplayer thing, which we're barely going to sort of focus on. But thankfully, it is free. It's coming as a thank you to the 25th anniversary to all the fans and all that kind of thing. But the multiplayer component was not their strongest part of that entire showcase. And it's a weird, cel-shaded, six-person deathmatch thing that we're going to get a closed beta for next week. But either way, that's just getting that out the way. In terms of other housekeeping stuff, Resident Evil 8 is going to be cross-gen after months or about a year or so of people deciding or trying to guess whether or not it is going to be on PS4 and Xbox One. It is going to be cross-gen, and it's coming May 7th, 2021. So initial thoughts before we get to story stuff, gameplay stuff, what's your thoughts on it being cross-gen after all?
Man, I don't want to be down in it too much because I obviously know why. Like, you're not going to make something like Resident Evil at this point when you don't have the massive install base that you do on last gen, on current gen. So I know why they've done it. Like, for me, I want to see, of course, a full-blown next-gen Resident Evil, but I also want everyone else to experience this who hasn't been able to get a PlayStation 5 or an Xbox Series X or whatever. So I know why they've done it, and I'm sure it will play better on those next-gen consoles. And as long as it's a great game at the end of the day, I don't really mind, Scott. As long as it's a good Resident Evil game, I am I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah, because they put out a list of things that make the PS5 version or the next-gen version next-gen, and for the PlayStation 5, it's like SSD loading and ray tracing, and like, you know, you can resume the game straight away, and like, it's like, yeah, I guess so. Like, yeah, they're all sort of like baseline things that I would just assume are applied to all PS5 games anyway, minus the ray tracing. But there's still, if you play the Maiden demo, which is the demo they put out last night, which is available for free, you play as a new character called the Maiden. You're not playing as Ethan Winters, I think his name is, dude from RE7. But yeah, the Maiden demo was the thing where I was like, okay, this looks absolutely gorgeous. Like, this looks photoreal, brilliant. The character models are amazing. The environment is stunning. Love the world building. Love everything that they're doing. And it's going to be, you know, one of those things where we have to wait until we can compare, you know, the last gen and the current gen versions and then see like what was lost or what could have happened or whatever. But the foot that they're putting forward is very, very strong. And so let's like dive into that stuff. Obviously, Lady Dimitrescu, the new tall vampire lady, which some people are just defaulting to tall vampire lady, but she does have a name. Lady Dimitrescu and her daughters. She's got sort of got these three vampire daughters. They're an entire vampire family, where her daughters can turn into bugs and fly around a little bit like Marguerite from RE7. But that whole thing of like this mansion with this vampire family, there's a whole history there as to why they've got this fortune, which is touched on in the Maiden demo. What do you think of that stuff? Resident Evil fully embracing vampire style stuff.
It's cool, man. Like, I'm totally here for it. When the first trailers came out for Village, I wasn't entirely sold on the entire kind of like setup and the premise and the setting itself. But after seeing this combined with the Bloodborne-esque like Village itself, like that contrasting with the more upper class, you know, elitist vampire nest that you've got in the castle, like, it's just cool. It's that type of like horror fantasy that Resident Evil has historically done really well in the past, especially in Resident Evil 4, which this game just keeps on name dropping. You know, we've got the merchant back, we've got Resident Evil 4's inventory system more or less as well. So the fact that they're taking cues from that, to me, is like a cool thing. Like, I like that brand. It's not necessarily what scares me, but I already got that with Resident Evil 7, you know what I mean? I always respect when it comes to this franchise that they rarely just do more of the same from sequel to sequel. There's always some kind of big shift, there's always some kind of change that usually justifies the next game having, you know, that main series numbering, you know what I mean? Like, even from the jump to 2 to 3, like, they included enough difference in there, you know, with like Nemesis and stuff, where it felt like, right, this is the next Resident Evil. So that's I'm here for it. Like, I'm so excited to see what they do with it. And now that I've kind of come to terms with the fact that it might not scare me, but it's going to intrigue me and it's going to fascinate me, like, yes, I'm 100%.
The thing is, like, I love the idea of Resident Evil just being this sort of, like, complete... It's such a top-tier, like, royalty-style IP that, like, if they're going to be the top-tier, the name in horror, then why not explore these different directions? And I get that Resident Evil is so associated with zombie stuff. And I don't... Do you remember, you know, back when Resident Evil 4 got announced, the general sort of conversations around that game, like, obviously it was incredible, you know, pioneered the whole over-shoulder camera stuff, but I remember a lot of conversations around, like, oh, it's not Resident Evil anymore, it's Las Plagas, it's the, you know, they're not really zombies anymore, they're sort of, like, mind-controlled humans, and that was, like, a whole thing. But I think that time's been pretty kind to that game, obviously, in regards to the lore and how it's been received over, like, you know, over the years. And still, I wonder if they're, you know, channeling RE4 this much because they're like, right, we're going to take another big risk. We're going to do a game that has a bunch of vampires. There's clearly, like, a werewolf man that's in here. We haven't even actually seen any zombies yet. Even the dudes that are down in the bottom of the cellar and, like, underneath the mansion are all, they all look like familiars that have kind of gone wrong, like humans that wanted to be vampires that have sort of been bitten and didn't turn properly or whatever, blade style, and they're all sort of, like, coming after you with, like, swords, and they're pawing at you and stuff, but I'm totally there for that stuff. I think you can make the Resident Evil brand work with these overblown characters and even main characters like Chris Redfield and stuff. So for me it feels like they're channeling RE4. We should totally touch on the fact that the merchant is back, the actual merchant from RE4, who is now called the Duke. And he's a large man. He's sort of, he spent his time eating all of his profits, literally. And he's a large man. So he's literally returning, has the same sort of, like, ho-ho-ho style voice delivery, which I'm a big fan of. And the RE4 inventory, the sort of Tetris style inventory, which I know you've always liked. I love the
Resident Evil.
But he won't play Tetris. He won't sit and play Tetris. But he'll Tetris RE4.
I don't need to play Tetris because I can just play Resident Evil 4 and get a horror version of it, you know what I mean? And I can also shoot some townsfolk while I'm doing it. I love that kind of style of inventory management. To me, survival horror goes hand in hand with that stuff, and I love the stress, and it might sound daft, that comes with, you know, deciding to pick up a grenade or deciding to take on an extra sniper rifle in lieu of some healing items or whatever. And I thought that Resident Evil 7 diluted that down a little too much to the point where you weren't really thinking about it. It was quite clear about, you know, when you didn't need items, and it sort of, it didn't really make it a factor, even though visually it was harkening back to that older system. So I'm pleased to see this make a huge return. And I think that makes sense considering that this game looks way more action focused than Resident Evil 7 ever was. Obviously, Resi 7 in the climax, you were gunning down a lot of enemies, but, you know, for the most part, it was only one or two of the molded at a time. But here in the gameplay demo, it's like, here's five werewolf boys and a really big, tall werewolf boy, and you're going to have to blow them up with red barrels and stuff. I'm not necessarily against that. Again, because even though Resident Evil in action has a dirty reputation because of, you know, 6 especially and a little bit of 5, like, the latter half of Resi 4 is incredibly action heavy, but the thing's so tight and the thing's so well paced that it remains scary because it has things like the inventory management to juggle on top of, you know, blasting away and getting headshots. So I'm not inherently against taking a more action oriented approach if it's done right and it's nicely balanced and it retains the horror atmosphere, which, you know, this, at least from what we've seen, very clearly does from what they've shown off last night.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, over the years, obviously, they experimented so much with this, like, overblown, crazy action stuff. And as the only human on the planet playing Resident Evil 6 in 2021, although Ben Roy did just platinum it, they have a weird blend that I feel like if they get it right, you are slowly, you know, going through a certain environment, you're picking up different clues, you're solving puzzles, and then something kicks off and all of a sudden you're in this, like, intense action sequence, you're nailing headshots, you're trying to escape, and, you know, whatever. And they can blend those two things together in a way that I don't think any other IP does, because it is this weird blend of, like, anime sensibilities, overblown characters, but still slow burn horror, like Eastern style horror. And I think that when they get that right, hardly any of the games, like, they've always gone down one of two routes, and I feel like they're always striving to get that, like, perfect balance. But I do love what they're kind of going for in 8. Last thing for the gameplay is that they're bringing back the blocking from RE7. You can put your hands up, block attacks, but now if you press L1, Ethan will kick a dude away, and then you can sort of, they sort of throw that in there as, like, this is how you're going to deal with crowds kind of thing. That bit where you're, where the the dude's like, Ethan's like backing away from the guy with the giant hammer. That was so Dark Souls for me, like, Soulsborne. As if they'd taken like a lot, because obviously, you know, there's comparisons to Bloodborne already, you know, small village infested with monsters, whatever. But yeah, I kind of wonder how much the Souls influence has finally sort of taken hold, like, even though it's a different genre. Something else that we should throw in here as well is the state of Chris Redfield. Sort of gone from boulder punching dude in RE5 over to sort of mysterious savior at the end of RE7, and with his umbrella logo on the helicopter, I think, when he was coming to make the save. And then in this one, they had that early trailer from last year or the year before where Chris seems to shoot Mia, Ethan's partner. And then in this thing, in the new story trailer, he's holding like a baby, which they also show Mia in like a flashback where it seems as if Mia and Ethan were always trying for a kid. And somehow, I mean, maybe that's, I assume that's like a vision, something that Ethan is sort of conjuring up, imagining Chris doing horrible things to his partner and his child.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, in the trailer, I'm sure you mentioned that Ethan's going to the village and going to the castle in search of his kidnapped daughter, you know what I mean? So is the case that Chris took it? What role does Chris play in this story? I don't buy for a second that he's going to be evil for the full thing. I'm sure we will play as Chris at some point in it. But I like that, you know, they're making both of these characters' stories entwined, because obviously we don't know anything about Ethan Winters apart from the fact that everyone refers to him by his full name every single time they reference him.
It's like me and you doing the news.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, you know, going forward, a great way to make him feel like a proper part of the Resident Evil canon is to pair him with someone like Chris and give him this weirdly connected, weirdly personal story that centers around, you know, his family and how Chris has come in, you know, intentionally and not on the side of good or on the side of evil, and kind of like blown that apart and the whatever drama comes out from it. It's intriguing. I don't know if they're going to do it well, but I'm excited to see where it goes.
I do think, for one last thing for this, mentioning Chris, there's also Lady Dimitrescu in the story bit where she's sitting on the phone. She's talking to Mother Miranda, sort of reporting into her, saying like, look, don't worry, I'll take care of Ethan Winters. She mentions her brother Heisenberg. She's like, oh, Ethan got past Heisenberg. I assume Heisenberg is the dude with the bottle shades. Who, like, assumedly you fight outside before you go inside for the mansion. Maybe that's the first half of the game or whatever. But we know that Heisenberg is Dimitrescu's brother. And I think that she also mentions the ceremony. She's like, oh, yeah, don't worry, I'm still preparing everything for the ceremony. What if the ceremony is in relation to Ethan's kid? That's why it's been taken. And what if Chris Redfield is undercover? He's going to pretend to give the baby, and then he's going to do cool things later.
I'm almost certain, Scott, that that's going to happen, you know. I feel like there's going to be that shift about halfway through where you pick up as Chris. Because, I mean, lest we forget, in the DLC 4-7, like, part of that was from Chris's perspective. So it's not like they haven't implemented him as a playable character before. And that could be a tease for this kind of Resident Evil 8 that is split between these two different perspectives. That would be neat. I would be here for it. And I just want to play it, man. Like, May's too far away from me. Like, I don't want it to be rushed or anything, of course, but I am I'm looking forward to it very much. I haven't had a chance to play the Maiden demo yet, but I absolutely will get on that tonight. My big question, of course, before I go, because I need a big question for every single one of these videos, is they didn't mention VR, at least from what I saw. No. And I'm pretty sure I watched it all last night. They didn't mention it, which kind of sucks, because I played all of Resident Evil 7 in VR and would like to do it here, but I'm not sure what the case is. If I don't get that, I wouldn't be, it's not like a deal breaker for me, but I would like to see it, some kind of support for it, Scott Tilford, I'm not going to lie.
I would assume that because the levels are so much more intricate and there's so much more visual detail, that maybe they arguably don't want to sacrifice that for this lower resolution it would have to be to make it work on VR. Plus the headache that is getting PSVR to work on a PS5, or like getting the additional cable that most people won't have. I wonder if at some point they just you know, tot those figures up and go, is it actually worth us doing this? When even Sony are taking a step back from it for at least another year or two. In a sort of major capacity. I don't even think of the VR component. I just sort of forgot about that, which maybe speaks volumes as to how integrated RE7 and VR is. But I know that if you did play through it in VR, then it's like, that is the way to play that game. But like, I just didn't do it that way. But
dude, go back, get the headset out. I've been trying to convince you to get the headset out for about a year and a half now. But go back through Resi 7, play the DLC as well. Get it all caught up for Resi 8. And play it in VR, please.
I'm planning on going back through RE7. But I mean, look, I've got No Man's Sky to play in VR. I can't factor in other things. But I am planning an RE7 playthrough. I think I recommend that for a lot of people, seeing is how much DLC came out for that over the years. But yes, let us know what you think down in the comments below of everything else that they showed for Resident Evil 8, the new characters, the tone, the mansion, everything else. For now, Ivan Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.